We ask that you turn your attention to the screen for the scripture reading for today, or the back of the bulletin, whichever you prefer. The scripture that I've selected for my last sermon with you today is from the book of Deuteronomy. Hey, I actually said it without stumbling. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 8. When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all of Israel, he said to them, "I am now 120 years old. I am no longer to get about. And the Lord has told me, 'You shall not cross Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua also will cross over before you as the Lord promised. The Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, and you shall deal with them in full accord with the command that I have given you. Be strong, be bold, have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you.'" And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, "Be strong and bold, for you are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to his ancestors, or to their ancestors, to give them. And you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Be not dismayed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, what do you preach on your last sermon with your congregation? I searched and searched many passages that related to the transfer of leadership, the passing of the baton, if you will. But the one that spoke to me most was the story of Moses standing at the edge of the River Jordan, ready to cross over and to pass the leadership responsibilities over to his young protege, Joshua. Moses rose early that morning, before the sun had come up over the horizon. As he thought about his last day on earth, and his last day with the people of Israel that he loved, he did some reflecting upon his life. You know you'll do that if you know your time is short, if you know you're dying, or you know there is significant change coming in your life. Moses remembered when he was about 3 years old, when his mom and dad told him how he had been laid in a basket, covered with pitch or tar on the outside, and was set adrift as an infant, probably not much older than Jackson here, set adrift on the Nile River. You imagine how hard that had to be for that mother to put that child in that basket. But by the grace of God, he was saved by an Egyptian princess who found him as she was bathing one day in the River Nile. Moses remembered how he was so afraid after killing the Egyptian who had been mistreating a Hebrew brother. And he'd never forget the day out there in the desert, minding his own business, tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, a man living in fear of his life for killing someone, and seeing that strange sight of a burning bush. And God speaking to Moses, saying, "Moses, Moses, come near. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." And as the sun began to rise over the horizon, there on the banks of the Jordan, Moses reflected on these things. He reflected upon all the wonders that he had seen God do through him. And he was still amazed that God could use him, a mere man, to accomplish God's will. Yes, Moses had a lot he needed to do this day. There were lots of things to take care of before leaving. You know, there are some things that someone who knows their time is short must do to get ready before going away. There are things that need to be said. There are final words that need to be spoken, and there are things that need to be done. And so there was Moses, standing tall and strong, and even though he was 120 years old, his strength had not waned, nor had his eyes grown dim. He was as strong as ever as he walked to the tent, from his tent to take care of business that day. Today, we hear the words of Moses to the people of God before he dies. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's not crossing over. And today, as we hear Moses' word, I want you to hear some of my words mixed in with Moses' words as my final words and my final thoughts to you, the people of God. My prayer is that these words today will inspire you to greater faith, to greater service, and to greater commitment to the same God who called Moses in the burning bush, the same God who led Joshua and the Israelites across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. Now, as Moses reflected on these things and then addressed the people, he reminds them of several things. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read chapters 29, 30, and 31, and 32, and 33, which was Moses' farewell sermon, if you will. I wouldn't do that to you. But suffice it to say that I have gleaned from these words what I believe God wants me to share with you today on our last Sunday together here at Bethel. So here we go. First of all, Moses reminds the people in these chapters of God's power. God's power. The Israelites had witnessed this power themselves with their own eyes. The great wonders that God had done in Egypt. They saw the plagues of blood and frogs and gnats and flies and boils and locusts and darkness and, sadly, the death of all the firstborn children throughout Egypt. From the son of Pharaoh to the lowliest slave girl, every firstborn child had been killed. They saw with their own eyes the mighty nation of Egypt, the nation that had oppressed them in slavery for over 400 years. Saw this great nation crumble to its knees before Almighty God as they were swept away by the Red Sea. Now, over the past 5.5 years, I believe we have seen some tremendous demonstrations of God's power too here at Bethel. Now, even though we may not have seen anything as dramatic as a plague or anything like that, we've seen God's power at work in many, many ways. For instance, we've seen the power of God at work in the lives of many people here at Bethel who have experienced the transforming power of God's love. Through ministries like Grief Share, through ministries like the Band of Brothers, through missions and outreach and all kinds of ministries designed to help draw people closer to God, through Bible study, and the list goes on, music, the list goes on and on and on. We've seen the power of God's healing as families have been brought closer together. From the brink of divorce, from the brink of separation. We have seen people reunited through reconciliation and counseling and group support. And many times right in this room we have heard the stories, even today, of the power of God's healing in the many and various praise reports that you have shared with your church family for loved ones who have been very sick or injured. And who now walk among us. Praise God. And let's be sure to remember how God's demonstrated his power in the past as we anticipate God demonstrating His power again in the future here at Bethel. Moses also reminded the people of God's provision. The Israelites spent 40 years wandering out there in the wilderness. And God provided them with clothing and sandals that didn't even wear out. Guys, don't you wish God still did that for your wives? So they wouldn't have to buy so many shoes? I guess our shoes wear out too, don't they? Yeah, okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're told that God even kept their feet from swelling during all those years of walking around on rocks and out there in the desert. How about that? He reminded them how God provided manna from heaven. They didn't even have to plant a single grain of wheat. They did not have to grow a single grape. They did not have to bake any bread. It was all provided by God, manna from heaven. And they were sustained during those 40 years with the providential hand of God. God even provided them protection against their enemies, like we heard in today's reading, from King Gog and King Sihon, as recorded today. Well, where do we begin to remember God's provision here at Bethel Church? Well, my first thoughts are how God provided the right people, the right resources, and the spiritual fortitude to survive the collapse of our ceiling in the sanctuary in 2009. Most of you remember that 2 days after Sunday, Easter Sunday, mind you, in 2009, when our entire corner under the bell tower was laying in the middle of the floor there in our sanctuary after many, many years. And we had a lot of rain that day, and we knew we had a problem on our hands. We were vacationing in Outer Banks, as I recall, and got the call from the trustees that the ceiling had collapsed in the sanctuary. But we were able, by the grace of God and the generosity of you, the people of Bethel, and I might add a particular family with extremely close ties to this church and community, to pay for it 100% with money left over. Money left over. I'm reminded of how God provided us just the right people in leadership positions at just the right time with the gifts and graces that were needed to lead us through a very painful embezzlement case, where our treasurer had made off with over $32,000 of God's money. People like Gary Stabley, Clay Monroe, Don Yetter, Cindy Cleaver, Debbie Dawson, our lay leader, Alan Riley, who really was the leader in helping us through that very, very difficult time. Thank you. It is through God's provision and the faithfulness of Bethel's people that, and it has enabled us for over 10 years to pay our conference apportionments 100% every year. That can only be by the grace of God. Now, I could go on and on and on about how God has provided for us when we weren't sure how things were going to work out, particularly the antique show. But it still goes on year after year after year, doesn't it? But by perseverance, by faith and trust in the Lord, we have done okay together as a team, working together during these difficult but also glorious times, and giving thanks to God who provides all our needs. Moses also reminded the people of God's covenant. You see, as the people were standing there before Moses listening to all that he had to say, they were also standing on holy ground. They were standing in the presence of God. Even strangers and aliens among them were all standing there in the presence of the one true God. Now, they just weren't hanging out. They weren't just waiting around with nothing else to do. They were there for a specific reason. They were there for one reason only. God was entering into a holy covenant with them, a covenantal relationship. In chapter 29, verse 12, not part of our reading today, it says, God says to the people, "You are standing here in order to enter a covenant with the Lord your God. A covenant he is making with you. This is Moses speaking, by the way. A covenant he is making with you this day and sealing it with an oath to confirm you this day as his people that he may be your God. Folks, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are part and parcel of that same covenant. We are covenantal people bound by the Holy Spirit in covenantal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who is the new covenant by faith in his sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. When we become believers, we are baptized in the faith, just as this child was baptized in the faith today. We enter into this holy covenant by baptism through faith. We become, as it says in our communion prayer, one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. When we join the church, how do we enter? Through the baptism or the reaffirmation of our baptism, which is an outward sign of the covenant. And with God's help, we covenant to support the church and its ministries with our what? Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Unfortunately, we're not always faithful to that covenant, are we? We do drop the ball from time to time. That's why we need God's forgiving grace every single day. The good news is that God is faithful. God is always faithful and wants us to know that God's grace is greater than our unfaithfulness, than our sin. Remember your baptism. Remember your covenant with God. Remember the Lord is faithful and be thankful. And finally, Moses passes the torch to his young protege, Joshua. You see, Moses wasn't going to be their leader anymore. God had told him that he would not be permitted to enter the promised land, but only lead them to it. Now, there's a whole story behind that, in that because Moses and Aaron were unfaithful at some point during the journey, God did not allow him to enter the promised land. It was part of the judgment of God. But the great Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land, only to lead them, which was all part of God's perfect plan. The task of getting the people across the Jordan and into that land flowing with milk and honey still needed to carry on. But that would be the job not for Moses, but for Joshua, their new leader. You see, Joshua had been with Moses. Joshua was with Moses on Mount Sinai when God had given Moses the Ten Commandments. And he was one of the two spies out of the dozen that went into the promised land as spies and came back with a favorable report along with Caleb. Because he had faith in the power and the provision of God. And then Moses, in the presence of all the people of God, lays his hands upon Joshua, passing on the baton of leadership, the responsibility of leading this multitude of people with his blessing. This must have been an awesome sight to see the hands of Moses upon the head of Joshua, the great leader of God's people for over 40 years. You think 5.5 years is a long time. Imagine having a pastor for 40 years. 40 years. And he releases the people to Joshua's care. And then Moses encourages the people, encourages Joshua to be strong, to be bold, to be courageous, for the Lord his God would be with him every step of the way. And from that moment on, Moses would no longer be the one leading them. No longer would they hear his voice or see his face. And with the passing of the torch of leadership, they knew without a shadow of a doubt that Moses' departure was imminent and lasting. Today, I'm passing the torch. passing the torch of leadership, pastoral leadership, to your new leader, Reverend Earl Baker. I believe, the bishop believes, God, I believe, is telling us that I've gone as far as I can go with you, the people of Bethel. It is time for new leadership. It is time to move on. And as I do, with all the love of my heart, I want to leave you with some final words, some things that you, the congregation, needs to know about this process of transition, this process of changing in leadership. First of all, we clergy have an unwritten policy, unwritten rule, if you will, that we will not come back to our former churches for any reason. Anything related to church activities, that is, for at least a year. We will not come back. We will not do your funerals. We will not do your baptisms. We will not do your weddings. That's just the way it is, folks. It is a professional courtesy. And you've heard me say this before, you need the time and the space and the opportunities to build new relationships with your new leader so that you can enjoy the blessings of his ministry for the future. He is now your pastor. Well, as of 12:01 a.m. tonight. He is now your pastor, not me. He is the one you must go to. He is the one you must call for pastoral needs and spiritual care. He is now your Joshua to lead you into the promised land. Having said all that, we can still be friends. Thank God for Facebook. Thank God, and email. Having said all that, we can still be friends. Friends forever, because we have a forever friend in Jesus. Isn't that what Chatter says in the video? He's my forever friend. And you need to know, as I said last Sunday, that a piece of our heart, I wish I could carve out a little piece of it and stick it under the stage here somewhere, or stick it under the altar or whatnot, just to allow a piece of us to remain here with you. You know what I mean. You have touched us, Pat and I, more deeply than any church we have ever served. And this is our third appointment. That's why it's so hard to leave. That's why it's so hard to say goodbye. Just know that someday, by the grace of God, we do hope to retire here. We bought a home for that very purpose up in Milton. But being only 64 or 65, when this particular job is done, I'll still be eligible for appointment until age 72. So I may have a church or two left yet to serve during that time, if God allows me to live that long. I don't want to live to be 120. I want to see Jesus before then. But you know what I mean. We still have work to do, though. So we will come back. Some of you will still be here. Some of you will not. But it doesn't matter, because we'll be here to serve God whichever way he leads us. Now let us formally say goodbye through a little ceremony that is in our book of worship, and it is also in your bulletin and on the screen ahead of you. I'm going to share some final words to you, and then you are asked to respond with the words that will be on the screen in response. And then I'm going to accept your words, and then we're going to pray together a unison prayer, which will also be on the screen. To you, the people of Bethel, I want you to know that I am grateful for the ways in which you have accepted my leadership. I ask your forgiveness for the mistakes that I've made. And there have been many. I ask your forgiveness for the things that I've said that have hurt you. I ask your forgiveness for not always being there for you and your loved ones. As I leave you for that bigger pond that it's been referred to, the Salisbury District, I carry with me, we carry with us, all that I have learned and some wonderful, wonderful memories. Your response, please. I accept your gratitude. I accept your forgiveness. And I'm trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me. I release you from depending upon me. And I encourage your continuing ministry here and will pray for you and your new leader, Reverend Earl Baker. Let us pray together. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories and commend one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pat, would you join me at the front, please?
Check, check. Before Fred gives the final benediction, we'll sing one for him. Would you stand and join me in singing this benediction, not only for each other, but especially for Fred and Pat?